Appreciate the prayer and ask your continued interest in your prayers this morning. We'll go to chapter 12, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. I used this passage, I think about a year ago. I think it was in May of last year. And my emphasis at that time with regard to this passage was running our race with patience. And that's the, with patience, was the emphasis of what we talked about last time. But I want to give a different emphasis today. So Hebrews chapter 12, let's read the first two verses. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In this passage, there's a lot here, but I want to emphasize today the preparation. Preparing to run our race. You don't just think about practically anything in life. Think about how important preparation is. You know, years ago, I remember a motivational speaker saying, proper prior planning prevents poor performance. That's a mouthful, but it's true. Proper prior planning prevents poor performance. In the business world, if you show up for a meeting and you're not prepared, and you're the one that's supposed to be leading the meeting, doesn't go real well, does it? If a doctor's about to perform surgery and he didn't get any sleep the night before and can't see real well, I hope that's not my doctor. Preparation is so needful. I mean, that's just logic, isn't it? I mean, that's not easy to understand. Preparation. And we could keep going with just life's examples of why we need to be prepared for whatever we're doing. It has a huge impact upon results. Okay? By the way, it's a big subject in the Bible. Are you surprised? No, you shouldn't be. Because not only is it true in the natural realm, but if we're going to serve the Lord as we should, then there's some preparations that need to be made on a regular basis. And a lot of times, preparations made once won't carry through for the rest. You got to keep doing it, right? It's something that it's just needful to continue to be able to get the best results. And so serving the Lord, discipleship, and following him, we just might need to stop and realize that there's some regular preparation that needs to be made. All right? Now, in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, Jesus asked this statement, or made this statement, asked this question. He said, for which of you, now listen, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? Okay? Who's going to build a tower and not consider the cost? Brother Eddie, Sister Marie, you just built a house, you know. I'm sure they gave a lot of consideration in order to finish that. I think several times, perhaps over the years, I've made an example of in Dawson, Georgia, There's a lot where somebody dug a foundation, and I mean, it was big. It was going to be a full basement and blocks and everything, and they stopped right there. And I could take you to that spot today. It's been filled in with dirt, and grass is growing over by now, but you could still see the outline of the foundation that was put there. Somebody started the project, couldn't finish it. Preparation. It's needful, isn't it? Now, Jesus gave that example. Now, remember, if Jesus gave it, it's the very best example. You can't, there might be one just as good, but there's not going to be any example better to teach the lesson than what he gives. Else he would have given us the best. All right? What was he talking about when he gave that? You might remember that statement. You know, which of you intending to build a tower, set us not down first to see whether you have sufficient to finish it? What was he talking about? What was he teaching when he gave us that? Do you remember? It was right there after any man that will come to me. He's talking about discipleship. We could go back and take time to read it. I just want to get that thought out there. Discipleship. If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to realize. You know, there was another man that said, "Lord, I'll follow you whether you go." He said, "Birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." You ready for that? I'm adding that. Preparation, consideration. If we're going to follow the Lord, we need to think about it. Because you see, if we're going to follow the Lord, let's be a good disciple. Let's be a faithful disciple. He's worthy of that, isn't he? We just sang that song, "I want to love him more. He's done so very much for me. I want to love him more." So if we're going to be disciples, there's some preparation that we need to make on a regular basis. If considering discipleship, if we're an uncommitted Christian, what that says is we're not ready to turn loose of the world. See, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other, or vice versa. So, discipleship, considering the cost, making preparation so that we can follow him in a way that's pleasing in his sight. I'll get to several verses in just a moment that emphasizes the fact that the Lord wants us to bear much fruit. And that if it's the right kind of fruit, if it's born the right kind of way, it brings glory to his name. Now, isn't that important? That God be glorified, especially by his church. That God be glorified. I mean, who else is going to do it in this world? If the church doesn't do it, who is? It's not going to happen. He deserves so much glory for what he has done for us. We want to love him more. How do we love him? He told us, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Simply stated, but it's sometimes a challenge, isn't it? But that's okay. The Lord met with challenges. Now, he never failed. He was never discouraged. Isaiah said that's the way it was going to be. He should not fail nor be discouraged. But he did meet with many challenges. So why should we be surprised if in our discipleship that sometimes there's a challenge in our way? That sometimes we might be persecuted. Sometimes we might not be well thought of. Sometimes we might not be welcomed. Sometimes we're going to meet with challenges if we're going to be faithful to God in this world. Paul told Timothy, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That verse in recent years has become very convicting to me, because in many ways I don't feel to be persecuted. And so I have to wonder, well, how much glory am I giving to the Lord? How much am I doing that the world would not approve of? I think we all ought to lay that to heart, because we want to be faithful disciples of our Lord. We want to walk in ways that's pleasing to Him. We want to walk in ways that others would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And in order to do that, we have to show the world whose child we are. We're not a child of the world. We're a child of God. What He says, that's what we will do. Where He goes, we want to go. We want to be found following Him. So, Hebrews 12, as it begins this lesson of running our race, it speaks of some preparation in the beginning of that. He says, first of all, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every weight. I think last time I dealt with this passage, I dealt with that at length, and I just want to be briefly cover that today. But the laying aside of every weight, as far as discipleship, you know, running this race, what race are we talking about? We're talking about the Christian life. We're talking about living a life that is evident that we're a Christian, that we're committed to following the Lord. All right? Not just living according to our own personal choices. All right? So, he said, let us lay aside. This is part of the preparation. Two main things that he speaks of in the way of preparation before he gets to the idea of running the race. Lay aside every weight. That word has the idea of things external. You know, when you watch the Olympic Games on television, if they ever have another one, if they ever televise another one, ever have one, and you see those runners in a race, not necessarily the marathon, but those sprints, this Christian race is the marathon, all right? But runners in a race, you're going to notice they don't have, you know, the women's not going to be in a maxi dress or whatever they're calling those these days. They're not going to be in that if you're going to run a race. Why not? Why not? You get in the way. It'll slow you down. That's the idea of being, lay aside every weight. You're not going to be in an overcoat. You know, there are things that will hinder us from running this race in the best way that we could. There's things in this life that get in our way, that pull our attention away, that do things that cause us to be involved in things. All right? So when we think about this, running this race, it says, lay aside every weight. All right? The external things. Things outside of ourselves that would hinder us. And the sin, he says, here's the other part of that preparation, and the sin which does so easily beset us. That's internal things. That's things about me. I got to deal with about me. Choices, desires, activities that I choose to do. We all have temptations. We all have our individual weaknesses. Some things bother some folks. It's not a temptation at all to others. whatever that case might be for you, take this personally. It's not a one size fits all, but it is worded in such a way that you can, that anybody with 100 people with 100 different weaknesses could take this principle and apply it just as well to each one. Whatever that is that so easily besets you, it distracts you, it hinders you, just like those external things hinder us in running the race. The internal things can also hinder us in this race. So Paul says, as he writes this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience. Now, what happens? How does it affect the results if we just skip over these first two things and start running? You see how it impacts the results? You see how important it is for us to pay attention to what the scriptures tell us? It's a thorough furnisher. It tells us what we need to know to run this race. But quite often, we're willing to skip over other things and just go to the, let's just get down to the bottom line. And we miss the things that need to be incorporated in our life to make it richer, to make it more loving, to make it more faithful, to make it more fruitful as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we need to pay attention to what the scripture tells us and how we can bear those fruit to the glory of God. Otherwise, the fruit's not going to come. And if it is fruit, it's not going to be good, mature fruit. We'll get to that in just a moment. So the preparation, and rather than getting further into Hebrews 12 here, that's what I'm trying to emphasize this morning. I feel like it's a very needful message for all of us. Wherever we are in our Christian experience, it's needful for every one of us. If you've been in this race for 80 years or 20 years or 2 months, it's good for all of us. All right? Preparation. We need to be preparing in order to get the results that we need. The race. I told you, it's the Christian life. There's a kingdom of God. There's a kingdom of men. Naturally, we're born into the kingdom of men. But when God has mercy upon us and sends his spirit into our heart, we're born into the kingdom of God. We become aware of there is a God. We become aware of the fact that we come short. You know, his spirit within us convicts us when we do contrary to the things that are according to godliness. It's what God has given us as evidence that we're one of his. Even the very conviction of sin is an evidence of spiritual life. You know, the radio preacher J. Vernon McGee, they still play his recordings, but he's gone on to be with the Lord now. But he used to say there's two kinds of sinners, those that know it and those that don't. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But until we're born of the Spirit, we don't have what we need in us to convict us of sin. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit that provides that conviction. It's not just head knowledge. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, as we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we understand what's going on when we're convicted. All right? So this Christian race is something that we need to run. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's something we need to run every day, not just on Sunday. All right? And the elect of God are called out. from the kingdom of men to the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, just very briefly here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How does he dwell in us? When we're born of his Spirit, when he gives us his Spirit, when he takes up his presence within us, then he makes us know him and to know what he's done for us. And so, is that all he does? He just sends his Spirit and that's it? No. No, there's a reason why he gives his Spirit to his children, so that they can follow him and not the world. And so the next verse says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's what God's people are called to do, to come out from among the things of this world. Now, we have to make our way in this world. We have to do our jobs and so forth. But we can do it as a Christian and not taking part of the godliness that's in this world. So, just like Amos said back in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can we walk with God and not walk in a godly way? Something to consider, isn't it? So preparing for this race. How we run this race affects others. We want to affect folks in a good way, don't we? We want the godliness that we live to be a good influence on others. We want that. But if we're walking one way one day and if we're walking with God on Sunday and then running with the devil all the rest of the week, that's not going to be a good influence on others, is it? All right? So that's what we're talking about here in this preparation, so that we can walk each day in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord, because we want to bring glory to God with our life. So John chapter 8, chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples, bearing fruit to the glory of God. In Philippians chapter 2, when he's been talking about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, he eventually talks about holding forth the word of life and shining forth as lights amidst a crooked and perverse nation. He says, amid a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Let's give this world some light from God, some light from godliness, some light from faithfulness, some light from love. Those are the kinds of things that influence others for good, isn't it? Bless your hearts. That's why he tells us to shine forth as lights in the world. And that's what Jesus said. Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Peter would also say, he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises. Oh, I got that backwards. We should show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is not only our duty as a disciple, it is our great privilege. God had mercy upon us. God loved us enough that he sent his own son to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins. I want to love him more. He's done so very much for me. Each one of us ought to be saying, I want to love him more. He's done so much already for us. Then may our life show forth thanksgiving and praise to his great and holy name. So we're not just spectators of the race. We ought to be participants, prepared, and daily running this race in a way that's pleasing to the Lord and brings glory to his name. Now, if I don't get to this further down, I'm not going to cover it. Preparation. Still dealing with the idea of preparation. And I want to go through a number of passages. I don't know how much I'll be able to spend on each one, but a number of passages to show you and to emphasize how much the Bible has to say about this preparation, because that's what influences the results of our discipleship. All right? So right here in Hebrews 12, we talked about, let us lay aside every weight. See, before we can run the race, Paul says there's some things that we need to do. You need to get ready for the race. If you ever watched a race on TV, you see them when they're getting ready to line up there, they're all loosening up and maybe doing a little bit to kind of get their blood pumping, and they're getting ready. Well, if we're going to run this Christian race, we need to get ready. All right? So Paul said, lay aside every weight. Those external things that hinder us. And the sin which does so easily beset us, those things that affect our heart and mind, lay that aside. That's what he's saying for both of those. He doesn't repeat to lay it aside, but he means to both of those things to be laid aside. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Then we're ready to run because we've made the preparation that we need to make. All right? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to be bouncing to a number of them here, but hang in there with me. Ephesians chapter 6. Do you know the lesson in Ephesians chapter 6 deals with the armor of God, right? And it talks about the having your loins girt about with truth, and you're having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith. You know, he talks about all the armor, but wait a minute. Leading into that, he said, put on. Now, if Paul told us to put it on, that means it's not automatically there. We're his child. We can never be separated from his love. Nothing can pluck us out of the hand of God. But as a disciple in this world, if we're not prepared for the race, we're not going to perform like we should and bring glory to God. And so the armor is ours, but don't leave it in the closet. Put it on. Well, preacher, how do you do that? We're not talking about something physical like a metal shield and a helmet. We're not talking about that. So how do you put this armor on? You think about it. You be reminded of it. You remind yourself, reading the scriptures, thinking about what God has done for you, thinking about how needful faith is that we can be faithful to God, thinking about how wonderful it is that we have the gospel have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The righteousness that we have through our Lord and Savior that's been imputed to us. All of these things, think about it. Be mindful of it. Be thankful for it. Praise God for it. That's how you put it on, because then others can see it on you. Then you're letting your light shine, right? That's how others can see it on you when you're thinking about it and when you're acting according to what it is for us. It helps us to be joyful in our existence. There's a lot of things in this world that drag us down. But bless your hearts, when we remember what we have in the Lord, when we remember that we're eternally secure in Him, nothing can separate us from the love of God. When we remember that He's watching over us and He provides for us each day, bless your hearts, it'll help your day go better. It may not remove the circumstance, but it will help your day. And so when others see that, when others know your situation and know the problems that you're going through, and they see that you can be joyful anyway, they see it on you. They're able to see you've got something that's giving you strength that the world doesn't know anything about, and the world can't give it, and the world can't take it away. Because you're a child of the King in the kingdom of God. And you're not following after the ways of the world. So that armor, if you miss the part where it says put on the whole armor of God, if you miss that, and if you miss putting it on as you start your day, you're not going to have it on for others to see. You're not going to have it on to protect you. So we need that. We need that preparation for our day. And it makes sense to have it in the early part of the day, right? Instead of at the end of the day. Now, it might help you sleep better if you remember it when you go to bed, so go ahead and think about it then too. But we need it for the early part of our day, okay? Now, so that's what Ephesians, in putting on the whole armor, that preparation that Paul gives us in that chapter. And by the way, when you do put it on, Paul says the result of that is that you may be able to stand. And having done all, to stand. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to be faithful. We want to be standing tall for our God who has blessed us so abundantly. Let's be the people in this world that gives glory and honor to our God who has done so much for us. There are plenty of people in this world who bear the Christian name who are not giving glory to God. They're too busy with this world. Let's be different. Let's come out from that. Let's put on the whole armor of God. Let's be prepared to give glory to our God as we go through our day. Philippians chapter 1. Just very briefly. But I want you to see how in so many of these books that Paul gave us this preparation that was needed before he gets farther into the meat of what we're supposed to do. All right? So in Philippians chapter 1, when Paul prays for the brethren at Philippi, Philippians 1 verse 9, "And this I say, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." We need to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Right here. Right here. That's how we learn it. This is how God speaks to us today. He's already given us the canon of the Scriptures, but He speaks to us through His Word. Whether we're reading it for ourselves, whether we're listening to preaching, whether we're listening to it on the internet or whatever, wherever we can find truth, we need to be a student of truth and grow. He says that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. All right, if we're abounding in knowledge and all judgment, then he goes into the next verse and tells us what that will help us to be able to do. It will help us run our race better. All right, verse 10 says that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being, because you've made the preparations, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. You see that? It results in glory and praise to God. But it's not going to happen without that preparation. It's not going to happen without us growing in knowledge and all judgment. The preparation has to be there. All right? How about Colossians, the next book that we have in the scriptures? All right? In Colossians 1, again, verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, see, this is another time Paul's praying. He's praying for these brethren. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire. What kind of preparation does he want for them? To desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. There it is again. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Very similar to what he told the brethren at Philippi. And why wouldn't it be? We all need the same lesson, don't we? To be filled with the knowledge of his will. And again, this is his will. This is what God has expressed to his people as his will. It's the revealed will of God in the Word of God. So that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If we make that preparation, what will happen? Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see the pattern? It's the same truth. It might be expressed a little differently. There may be different examples, but he gives us the same truth each time. And then he goes on talking about being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience. So that's just more fruit, being stronger, being patient, able to us to do more and bring more glory and honor to our God. That preparation is so needful in this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. When Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, he's expressing a lot of gratitude and thankfulness for the brethren at Thessalonica. Okay? He talks about their work of faith, and their labor of love, and their patience of hope. Those are good things, aren't they? That's what we all, as children of God, ought to be doing. Labor of love. I mean, a work of faith. You know, by faith, we're able to do things that are pleasing unto him and are blessing to others. Work of faith and labor of love. All right? We continue to do those works out of love for our God and love for one another. Labor of love and patience of hope. Sometimes we need some patience, don't we? Oh, yeah. We all need it. All right? So, patience of hope. It's not for naught. Bless your hearts. He's called us out of darkness in his marvelous light. We can never be separated from him. Someday we will be with him in glory. But we're not there yet. And so as each day goes, we're going to have challenges. We're going to have trials. We're going to have whatever comes our way. Bless your hearts. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's our hope. He did that for us. He has overcome the world. He's given us the victory. Heaven will be our home someday, and we'll be free from all the trials and the heartaches of this world. So until he comes, let's show forth those praises. Let's show forth a life that's thankful for what he's done for us. Let's show forth a life that gives praise to God because he did it for us. We didn't do it ourselves. He's the one that gets all the glory, right? He's generous with his grace, but he's stingy with his glory. We should be giving him all the glory we can in all the things that we do. All right, so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, First Thessalonians 2, verse 11. This is a little different to the church at Thessalonica because he's already talked about their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope. And the word of these things had sounded out to others, so they were already actively engaged. But he did exhort them to grow in that love more and more, that they would abound in those things. So in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, glory world is awaiting us. But we don't have to wait until then to rejoice in the glory of God. I rejoice that God has called each one of you out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light. I rejoice in the fruits of righteousness that you're bearing in your life to the glory of God. I'm thankful for the church that we have and all the blessings of it. So let's give him praise and glory each day we live while we're waiting for him to come again. James, the book of James. See, all of these books, and I'm sure there's other verses that speak of this preparation. I'm just kind of grabbing some highlights as we go through. But the book of James, just right off the bat, to use a baseball term, right off the bat, James begins to tell us about preparation. All right, in the book of James, chapter 1, he said in verse 2, after he gave his introduction, in verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." You might say, well, where's the preparation there? It's in the counting. It's being prepared for the temptations that are going to come your way. You remember Daniel in the Old Testament? Daniel. Do you remember how faithful Daniel was? Do you remember how we just rejoice today in how faithful Daniel was and how he brought so much glory to God in his faithfulness? Remember that? Well, what if Daniel hadn't been prepared for what was presented to him when they brought him the king's meat and the king's wine? What if he hadn't thought about, I'm faced with something here that could cause me to sin against God? What if he hadn't thought about it? You think we would have seen all the faithfulness? No, Daniel had done some preparation, hadn't he? Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not sin against God with the king's meat, the king's wine. He had purposed. He had made some preparations. He was ready for it. James says, count it all joy. In other words, think about it. Add it up. See what you're going to be faced with in life and be ready for it. If not, you're going to be continually frustrated with the problems that come your way. You're going to be caught off guard. You know, we don't know what's going to happen, but we can be better prepared to deal with it. We can be prepared in knowing that temptations are going to come our way. But we can also be prepared in knowing, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Did you hear that? God gives us a way to get through the temptations of this life. Are you looking to him for it? Are you realizing that as you start your day, things may happen that will be a temptation? Be ready for it. Count it all joy. Realize that you know about it, so that you can be prepared to say, "Lord, I need your help." I mean, the quicker you can call upon the Lord to help you in that temptation, the better off you're going to be. Because he's the one that can make a way to escape. He's the one that can provide what you need. If you're going to just depend upon your ingenuity and your knowledge and your strength in the faith, you're going to be disappointed sometimes. We need the Lord. We need the Lord every step of the way, and we need to be prepared as we start our day to count it all joy. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to enjoy the temptations. What it means is you are aware, you have the knowledge that you know temptations are going to come your way, but you know God is there to help us and that you know you've got help. Now, when I can face a temptation like that, I can do it joyfully because He can strengthen us. He can help us. He can provide a way to escape. So James, that book is just full of practical admonition of how we're to run the Christian race. But there's some preparations that we need to make if we're going to run properly. All right, I got to keep moving. Peter has something to say about that, doesn't he? He has a lot, but let's go to 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give an answer. Do you hear some preparation in that? Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Do you wake up each day and realize, Lord, I'm going to need your help today. I thank you that I'm your child, and I want to honor you with my actions this day. I want to show the world that I am your child. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh thee a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Okay? There's some preparation that we need to make each day, right? All right, we could go on with that, but time's gone. And chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, he has spoken about what Christ did, and then he said, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. All right? So we need to arm ourselves, just like putting on the armor of God. By the way, when you putting on the armor of God, this preparation is not a put-on, as the hypocrites do. But you do put it on, right? It's not a put-on, but you do put it on. Think about that. We need it. That's the preparation we need to run this race with patience. Now, I know I've skipped over a lot, but think about what we've said now about the need for this preparation and results. Jesus also gave us many illustrations, but I want to grab two real quickly. If you remember in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower and the seed. The seed's the word of God. The sower went forth to sow, and he sowed these seeds in various places. And the various places where he sowed the seed are in the parable are represented by different types of soil. Different types of places where the seed would fall. To understand the parable, we're talking about the seed being the Word of God and the soil being your heart. Your heart and mind. Your heart and mind being able to receive the Word of God. So you go through this parable, and there was some that fell by the wayside, and the birds snatched it away. How much fruit was born from that seed that was sown? Zero. Nothing. No fruit. What are we talking about here? Being prepared to run our race so that we can bear fruit to the glory of God. That our life, our Christian race, the life that we live, the choices that we make, the activities that we participate in, whatever we do is to glorify God. And there's some preparations that we need to make. So in the parable of the sower, there was some seed that fell by the wayside. The bird snatched it away, no fruit. No glory to God, right? A failure to bring glory to God. The next seed that he describes, it fell on stony places. Well, it sprang up quickly, But when heat came, which is persecution, and when he describes what this is all about, when persecution came, when the heat of persecution came, it withered away because it didn't have root. It lacked preparation. It lacked the knowledge. It lacked confidence. It lacked all of those things that were gained as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior so that we can stand, and having done all to stand. That withered away. Well, how much fruit was born? How much glory to God was given?
None.
Because it was rocky, stony ground. But the next seed actually fell into ground where it could grow, but there was a problem. There was thorns and weeds. And Jesus explained that those thorns and weeds represents the cares and the pleasures and the riches of this world that crowded in to that soil, that heart and mind, and it choked out the word of God. You've grown a garden. You've seen a neglected garden, whether it was yours or someone else's. You've seen a neglected garden, haven't you? It was grown over with weeds. Maybe you could see a little plant or something that was in there that somebody had planted hoping to have some fruit from it, but it was just spindly and no fruit on it. Maybe a little fruit, but not what you had hoped. Not what you'd like to see. So, how much fruit was born by the seed that was sown among thorns? Well, we can't say none. Because Luke says, and brought no fruit to perfection. Oh, there was some, but it wasn't much to look at. It wasn't much to bring glory to God. It wasn't what it should have been. You get the point? If the soil had been prepared better, if the weeds had been gotten out, the word, which was good, a good word, it was good seed in all these places, but the heart that received it wasn't able to bear the fruit like it should. It lacked preparation. So the last group, thankfully there was a group, that was sown on good ground. It was worked. It wasn't hard and stony. It had been plowed. You know, repentance speaks of a brokenheartedness. Not one that's hard and stony, but one that's broken before God. That ground had been plowed. That ground had been worked. That ground had been prepared. And when the seed was sown in it, it brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold, because it was a prepared ground. Can we see the lesson? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that most of Christianity is those first three instead of the last. I'm thankful there's a lot in that last group. But where are we? We could be in one day and another one the next day. That's why it's so needful for this preparation to be done every day we live. Because it's so important that our life, our Christian walk, our Christian race, say thank you. It says I love you to God in everything we do. Now, we might be on our job doing something for somebody else, but the way we go about it could be saying, Lord, I thank you. You could be showing God's love to somebody else. You can be bearing fruit of righteousness in those menial tasks of your day. But it's great glory to God. It matters. It's what His Word says we should do, and it's what we do. And we bear fruit to His glory. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, in the early part of this, there's a parable of 10 virgins. Parable of 10 virgins. And they're all virgins now. But it distinguishes between the two as five were wise and five were foolish. And then he tells us what the basis of that distinction was. Because there were the five wise had lamps and oil for the lamp, because eventually some of this oil in the lamp's gonna be used up, right? And so they brought other oil so that they could keep the lamp burning bright. Keep letting light shine. The foolish virgins took their lamps, but no oil. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come. If you know about the Jewish way of weddings, the bridegroom came to the bride. You know, not like we observe weddings in our culture. The groom's down here and the bride comes to the groom. But no, in their culture, the bridegroom comes to the bride. You see how that lines up biblically? The bride of Christ today is waiting for her bridegroom, her husband, to come and take us home with him. So anyway, these virgins, they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And while they waited, the oil in the foolish virgin's lamps was used up. And so when the bridegroom came, they said, "Come out to meet the bridegroom." And those who had brought oil with them for their lamps went out to meet him. But the foolish ones said, "Give us of your oil because our lamps are going out." The wise had made preparation. They had extra oil. That oil, if you want to call it the oil of preparation, allowed their lamp to burn longer and bright and continue to give light. The preparations that we make determines how much light we have and how long that light will shine forth. Is your lamp burning bright? Has it given out of oil? Can it go a long time because you've made ample preparation? You've prayed, you've read, you've learned, you've grown, you've applied, you've tested, you keep reading the Word of God, you keep putting oil in that lamp. You have plenty of oil for that lamp so that it can burn for a long time. Preparation. We need it, don't we? We do. God has given us the greatest example of preparation there is. Before the foundation of the world, He chose a people in Christ. That's preparation, isn't it? Before we ever had our being, God chose His people in Christ. God had prepared. God had purposed that He would send Jesus in the fullness of time. He would send His Son to do what was necessary to save His people from their sins. That's preparation. God purposed to do that before the foundation of the world. And when Jesus came, he was prepared for the task, wasn't he? And he did it. He finished the work. He saved us from our sins that God had prepared for. He set up a kingdom for us to enjoy while we wait for him to come back. Our lamps need to continue to burn bright while we're waiting for him to come back. Every day, let that light shine. Every day, have that oil of preparation so the light can continue to shine for his glory. It'll be for your blessing, but give him the glory. He deserves it. He made the preparation for us. He sent his son. Jesus saved us from our sins. Heaven will be our home. Let's give him praise and honor and glory every day. And continue to make that preparation in the beginning of your day so that that lamp can shine brightly to the glory of God every day we live. Preparation is so needful. May God bless you is our prayer.